الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is right because He will straighten out your affairs and forgive your sins. Surely whoever obeys Allah and His Prophet, they have achieved a great victory, great success. Brothers and sisters, we were traveling with Imam Ahmad. And the last time we were with Imam Ahmad, he had just completed his first day of interrogation at the hands of the Khalifa Mu'tasim. And there were many scholars who had tried to stump Imam Ahmad, but no one was able to stump him. Nobody was able to overwhelm his arguments or to overcome his arguments. He was one man, one scholar against an army of scholars. But of course, as is usually the case, in the face of truth, falsehood crumbles. Falsehood totally crumbles. And that's what happened. Their argument, all those scholars who were there, who were backing the Khalifa for something that was wrong, their argument was that, look, we know a lot. We're scholars. We have a lot of Islamic knowledge. We know what we're doing. And we reason everything with our minds. And every argument that we have makes a lot of sense, although it may not be totally based on the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Because you can't just depend on the Qur'an and the Sunnah, you also have to rely on your mind. This was the attitude of the scholars and the people who were in the wrong. Imam Ahmad's position, and the position of every Muslim, which he represented, the position of truth, was that, look, I'm ready to buy any argument you have to put forth. But just give me some proof from the Qur'an and the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that proves your argument. There's no problem with using the mind and the reason of the mind and the rationale of the mind as long as it does not contradict or conflict with revelation. As long as it does not contradict or conflict with the Qur'an and the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This position of Imam Ahmad befuddled and just completely bothered the other scholars and Mu'tasim. And obviously Mu'tasim was very frustrated. That's why he called an abrupt end to the first day of interrogation. On the second day of interrogation, after Fajr, they assembled and there were huge crowds outside the palace of Mu'tasim. And Mu'tasim rolled in, he came in. And then he said, Hatu Ahmad ibn Hanbal, give me Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Where is Ahmad ibn Hanbal? In a few moments, Ahmad ibn Hanbal was brought in with chains all over his body. He could hardly walk. And he was brought in and put in front of Mu'tasim. Mu'tasim asked Imam Ahmad, he said, كيف كنت يا أحمد في محبسك البارحة? How was your night in the jail cell last night? How did you do last night? Imam Ahmad was not one to complain. He was not one to be negative. And he said, بخير والحمد لله, I was fine and الحمد لله, everything was okay. إلا أني رأيت في محبسك أمرا عجيبا. Except that last night, in the jail cell, I saw something really weird, something really strange. So Mu'tasim said, وَمَا رَأَيْتَ يَا أَحْمَدْ? What did you see, O Ahmad? So Imam Ahmad went on to explain. He said, look, you know, I got up in the middle of the night and I did my wudu. And then I went ahead and I started the salah. The salatul layl, the tahajjud. So I began with the first rak'ah and I said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And then after that, I read, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq. And then he said, I went down, I did the ruku' and the sajda and so on. And I came up for the second raka'ah and I read Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And then after that, I read Surah Al-Nas, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas. And then I sat down, I did my tashahud and I said the salams. Then I got back up to pray the second set of two raka'ahs. When I got up, I said Allahu Akbar in the second set. And I said, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And then I tried to read Qul Huwallahu Ahad. I just could not read it. For some reason, I couldn't read Qul Huwallahu Ahad. And so I tried and I tried to read any other ayah or any other surah from the Quran. I couldn't read it. He said, I finished the salah in the second raka'ah after Surah Al-Fatiha. I couldn't read any other surah. I mean, I couldn't read any other surah or any other ayah from the Quran. I just couldn't read it. He says, so I finished the second set, and I was sitting there, and then it looks like he dozed off. And I saw, in a dream, I saw that I was looking at the corner of the prison, of my jail cell. And I extended my eyes towards the corner of the jail cell, and there I saw that the Qur'an was just laying down. And the Qur'an was dead. And what I did was I got up and I washed the Qur'an and I put the kafan on the Qur'an and I said the prayer, the janazah prayer on the Qur'an, and then I buried it. Mu'tasim, he was surprised to hear a scholar of this degree saying something like this. He said, وَيْلُكَ يَا أَحْمَدْ وَالْقُرْآنَ يَمُوتْ. And he said that, woe will be to you, oh Ahmed. You know, as if to say, well, what are you saying, oh Ahmed? You know, does the Quran die? So Ahmed, he said, هَكَذَا تَقُولُ أَنْتَ. This is what you're saying. إِنَّهُ مَخْلُوقٌ. You say that the Quran is created. وَكُلُّ مَخْلُوقٍ يَمُوتْ. And everything that is created dies. So Mu'tasim immediately understood the intelligent argument of Imam Ahmad. And he said, Qahrana Ahmad, Qahrana Ahmad, Qahrana Ahmad. You know, Ahmad has just, you know, just completely overwhelmed us. Has just completely taken over. Has just completely put all our arguments aside. Has stumped us totally. So he turned to the other scholars who were there. And he was looking at them to say something on his behalf. And he said, Nadhiru, you know, argue with him, say something, kallimu, say something. So nobody got up. And then he said, Ya Abdul Rahman ibn Ishaq. He was one of the scholars of the Mu'tazila. He said, get up and say something, kallimhu, say something to him. On my behalf, say something. So Abdul Rahman ibn Ishaq, he got up and he said, Ya Ahmad, ma taqulu fil Qur'an. Oh Ahmad, what do you have to say about the Qur'an? He started to, you know, the whole argument all over. So Imam Ahmad, he said very intelligently, he said, Ya Abdul Rahman ibn Ishaq, ma taqulu fi ilm Allah? He said, what do you have to say about the knowledge of Allah? Now, Abdul Rahman immediately knew what Imam Ahmad meant. And because the problem that Imam Ahmad put Abdul Rahman ibn Ishaq in is that if he said that the knowledge of Allah is created, then that would be kufr. He would be a kafir. And if he was to say that the knowledge of Allah is an attribute of Allah, just like, then Imam Ahmad would automatically say, well, just like Allah's speech is an attribute of Allah, Allah sees and Allah hears, and of course that's different than human beings, and then he would have to agree with Imam Ahmad. So he was in a very difficult position. Either he had to declare his kufr, or he had to agree with Imam Ahmad. There was no middle position. So, Abdul Rahman ibn Ishaq, knowing his predicament, he started thinking. And he kept quiet. You see, his ego and his arrogance and his false pride came in the way. And he could not respond. He could not admit that he was wrong. He could not apologize. And what happened was that without saying a word, he went back to his seat and he sat down. He did not answer Imam Ahmad. And so one after another scholar got up and started to say something to Imam Ahmad. But one after the other, Imam Ahmad shot down their proofs. One after the other. The entire army of scholars and experts and consultants and cabinet ministers, everybody tried to prove Imam Ahmad wrong. But nobody could do anything. Imam Ahmad was armed with the Quran and the Sunnah. So finally, after all of them had quieted down, Imam Ahmad turned to the Khalifa, Mu'tasim, and he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O leader of the believers, أعطوني شيئا من كتاب الله عز وجل أو سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أقول به. He said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, leader of the believers, give me something, some proof from the Quran, from the book of Allah, or from the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, from the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Give me something from the Quran or the Sunnah. Because we can't just go based on intellectual proofs. Especially when they're not grounded in the Quran and the Sunnah. So, at that point, one of the cabinet ministers, who was one of the leaders, one of the leading scholars, his name was Ahmad ibn Abi Duad. He got up and he was livid with anger. Very angry. And he said to Imam Ahmad, Ya Ahmad, أنت ما تتكلم إلا بكتاب الله وسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said that, Oh Ahmad, you don't say anything except from the book of Allah and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. That's the only thing you use? As if to say that you don't use your mind? Intellectual proofs have no substantiation in your way of thinking? So Imam Ahmad smiled and looked into his face as if to say, of course not. We just look at the Quran and the Sunnah and that's it. So, Ahmad ibn Abi Duad, he got very upset. And he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, Wallahi, innahu dallun mudillun mubtadi'. This Ahmad is somebody who's misguided and he's misguiding other people and he's an innovator. And then he turned to all the people there, all the people who were there watching, and he said to Mu'tasim, the Khalifa, he said, وَهَؤُلَاءِ قُضَاتُكْ وَالْفُقَهَاءِ فَسَلْهُمْ. These are all your judges, these are all your knowledgeable people, all the faqis. So go ahead and ask them, what do they think? So for a moment there was a quiet, there was a hush over the entire audience. And then they stood up and they all said, هَذَا مُضِلٌ هَذَا ضَالٌ مُضِلٌ مُمُبْتَدِعٌ. This person is misguided and is misguiding others and he's an innovator. Imam Ahmad, he said, بِمَا ضَلَلْ. How am I wrong? How have I strayed from the right guidance? One after the other, they tried to prove things to Imam Ahmad. Every proof that they would bring, Imam Ahmad would destroy it, would deflate their arguments totally. Imam Ahmad says that, as I began to respond in such speed to their proofs, it became as if my voice was louder than their voices, all of them put together. Nobody could stump Imam Ahmad. Imam Ahmad, in his chains, after the persecution, not eating, not drinking, despite all of that, he held strong for the Quran. For the Quran. One of the scholars got up and he said, Doesn't Allah say in the Quran, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay? Doesn't Allah say in the Quran that Allah created everything? Imam Ahmad said yes. He said, Wal Quranu shay, idhan al Quranu makhluq. And therefore, the Mu'tazili scholar said, the Quran is a thing, so therefore the Quran is created. Imam Ahmad smiled. And he said, أَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ يَقُولُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا. Doesn't Allah also say in the Quran that, he's talking about the Thamud, that how the Thamud, when they were destroyed, how the winds came. And the winds destroyed everything. Doesn't Allah say that they destroyed everything? So the Mu'tazili scholars said, Yeah, bala. So he said, "Wahal tarakat shay?" Imam Ahmad said, "Did those winds, did they leave anything?" The Mu'tazili scholar said, "No, no." So then Imam Ahmad said, "Idan kayfa yaqulu ba'daha fa asbahu la yura illa masakinuhum?" How did Allah say after that? Right after that part, Allah said to complete the ayah. How did Allah say? So they got up the next morning, and they nothing was seen of them except their dwellings. In other words, everything was destroyed but their dwellings. So the Mu'tazili scholars, they were all stumped again. Again, Imam Ahmad stumped them from an incredible citation from the Quran. The point was that, yes, Allah created everything, but only those things that are allowed to be created. There are some things that are not creatable, like Allah's vision, like Allah's sight, Allah's hearing, Allah's knowledge, Allah's speech. Those things are uncreated. So therefore, just like certain things are allowed to be destroyed, and certain things are not, it's up to Allah. So again, he stumped them. Again, the entire day was a very, very frustrating day. And as with the first day, Mu'tasim abruptly called an end to the second day as well, as Dhuhr approached. He asked everybody, "Qumu," get up, and everybody left, with the exception of two people. Mu'tasim, the Khalifa, asked Imam Ahmad, and another one of the leading scholars of the Mu'tazila, his name was Abdul Rahman ibn Ishaq, to stay back. He wanted to have a private meeting. Mu'tasim wanted to have a private meeting with Imam Ahmad and with Abdul Rahman ibn Ishaq. So, after everybody had left and they were meeting privately, Mu'tasim came and sat next to Imam Ahmad. And he said, "Hal ta'arifu Salihan al-Rashidi?" Do you know this man named Salih al-Rashidi? So Imam Ahmad said, "Na'am, I know him, yes." So Mu'tasim said, "Kana mu'addibi." He used to be my teacher. When I was young, he used to be my teacher. "Wa kana fi hadha al-mawdi'." And he was sitting one day, he was sitting in the same place that you're sitting right now, O Ahmad. "Fatakallam wa dhakara al-Qur'an." So one day, as he was sitting in the same place that you're sitting, he's talking about his teacher now. His teacher, the one he's supposed to really respect. He says, so one day he was sitting and he began talking about the Qur'an. "Fakhalafani." And he had a difference of opinion with me. "Fa'amartu bihi fasuhib wa wuti'." So I ordered that he be dragged on his face and I stomped on his head. Mu'tasim was saying this about his teacher, as if to tell Imam Ahmad that, look, if I did this to my teacher, I'm going to do a lot more to you if you don't watch it. If you don't agree with what I'm going to say. So Imam Ahmad, after hearing this, he simply looked into his face, undaunted, fearless, you know, as if, yeah, okay, so what? What's the big deal? So he stomped on his face and so you dragged him. So what? And Mu'tasim saw that it had no effect on Imam Ahmad. And he said, "فَأَنْتَ مَنْ مَا عَرَفْتُكَ مَا كُنْتَ تَأْتِينَ." He said that, "Who are you? Because I never knew you. You didn't used to come to us, you know, like all the other scholars used to come to our court, the court of the Khalifa, but you never came." At that point, Abdul Rahman ibn Ishaq, he said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, أعرفه أنا منذ 30 سنة." I know him for the last 30 years. Imam Ahmad, I know him for the last 30 years. "فَيَرَى طَاعَتَكَ وَالْحَجَّ وَالْجِهَادِ مَعَكَ." And so he believes, this scholar, he believes that you should listen to the leader. You should listen to Amir al-Mu'mineen, you should obey him, and to do Hajj and to struggle with him if he calls out for a struggle, you know, to go out and fight in the way of Allah, that he believes in that also. So Mu'tasim was a little bit at ease because he saw that Imam Ahmad was not out to, you know, have a struggle against Mu'tasim. And he was not going to fight against Mu'tasim, so he was at a little ease and he was okay with Imam Ahmad. And so he said to Imam Ahmad, look, I would be so happy. I would be okay with Imam Ahmad if he was to be by my side. And because he was impressed, he was deeply affected with the arguments of Imam Ahmad and how intelligent he was and how wise he was. So he said that, I would be so happy if Imam Ahmad is with me and I could use him if he's by my side to refute any arguments that anybody brings to me. But if he would only agree with just part of anything that I've said, just a little bit of anything that I've said, if he agrees with me, then I swear by Allah that I will free him with my own hands and I will go to him as a student to learn from him. Mu'tasim wants to become a student of Imam Ahmad now. On one condition. If he just says a little bit, just a small itsy bitsy thing that agrees with Mu'tasim. After saying this, he looked into Imam Ahmad's eyes and he said, مَا تَقُولِ يَا أَحْمَدْ Ahmad, what do you have to say? So, again, you know what Imam Ahmad said? أَعْطُونِي شَيْئًا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَوْ سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Give me something from the book of Allah or the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mu'tasim got very upset. He was red in the face. He saw that he could not break Imam Ahmad. He could not soften him in any way. And so, he ordered the guards to come and get Imam Ahmad, and Imam Ahmad on the second day was returned back to his jail cell in Baghdad. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد اللهم صل وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين Brothers and sisters, you may think, or some people may think, that why are we mentioning this story? What does it have to do with our times? And we're talking about whether the Quran was created or not created and so on. Brothers and sisters, it is through these examples that we gain our inspiration on how to act today. You know, there's some great lessons that come out from this struggle that Imam Ahmad waged to stand up and stand up strong for the case of truth. You see, a lot of us may think that who cares whether the Quran was created, was not created, what's the big deal? It may appear like a small issue. But see, Imam Ahmad stood up for a small issue. Because the Quran was very important. It was the basis of all truth. Today, if Imam Ahmad fought so hard for a small issue like that, today we have a much bigger problem. And the problem is that a lot of us say that we believe in the Quran, but we're not ready to take it as the constitution for our life, as a program of instruction for our lives. How many of us know how to read the Quran properly? Allah forbid if the imams who lead the salah here, if they were not here, are the rest of us ready to come and lead the salah? What if tomorrow, Allah forbid, if tomorrow some of us are taken to prison, are there enough brothers here to be able to lead the salah? To read the Quran properly? At that time, Imam Ahmad was struggling just for, let's say, a small issue, as it may appear to us. But today the issue is much bigger when it comes to the Quran. Most of us don't know the Quran. Most of us don't have much of the Quran memorized. We haven't even read it. We don't know its meanings. We can't even read it properly. Imagine how Imam Ahmad would have felt about that. Why is it that the Quran Institute, for example, or the various Quran programs in the various masjids, or the Quran Institute here, why is it that only very few people come to the classes to learn the Quran? Why aren't the classes packed like now, like a Jum'ah? Why? Every time you read the Quran, one letter of the Quran, you get 10 rewards. So the Quran is a very important thing. The second thing is that the basis of all truth, second big lesson from the struggle of Imam Ahmad, the basis of all truth is the Quran and the Sunnah. Take it or leave it. The minute you declare the Shahada, you say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, what you're saying is, I believe in the Quran and I believe in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there is no Quran and no Sunnah, then there's no truth. There's no guidance, there's no piety, there's no righteousness, there's no good. The third lesson. Everything that we do as a Muslim, we're asked to come with our proofs. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ. Bring forward your proofs. If you're gonna do something, whatever you do, in Islam, whatever you do, there has to be something from the Quran or the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that upholds the way that you believe. So now, if you're gonna have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, give me some proof. Where does it say in the Quran that you can have a boyfriend? Where does it say in the Sunnah that you can have a girlfriend? And I'm not talking about just the kids. I'm talking about the grown-ups as well. Because we learn how to justify it by checking out a sister or checking out a brother. When we really haven't left our jahili practice of dating. Many of us, we hit on sisters, we go with the excuse of going and trying to tell her about Islam. And we're already married, and we have no intention of getting married to the sister, but we just want to play around with the sister. And the sister may get attached, and then afterwards we leave, we drop the sister. Like a ton of bricks. Is that a good impression for a new Muslimah? Show me in the Quran or the Sunnah where the proof exists that we can do something like that. A lot of Muslims, they're into complaining. Show me where in the Quran it says that we can just go ahead and complain and complain and complain. A lot of people like to be very negative, very pessimistic. Where does it say in the Quran? Give me the proof from the Quran or the Sunnah that we can be negative, we can be complaining. If you want to take off your hijab, give me an ayah from the Quran that says, oh, you who believe, take off the hijab. Give me something from the Sunnah where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh, women of Islam, take off the hijab. If you're living in America. Give me some proof. Imam Ahmad was asking the same thing. أَعْطُونِي شَيْئًا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Give me something from the book of Allah and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You're going to go ahead and backbite and say bad things about your brothers and to other communities and to other people? Give me some proof from the Quran that justifies that. Give me some proof from the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that justifies that. You don't want to learn the Quran? Give me some proof from the Quran or the Sunnah that you should not learn the Quran. You don't want to learn Arabic? Give me some proof from the Quran or the Sunnah. You don't want to be part of the community? Give me some proof. You don't want to give in the way of Allah? Give me some proof from the Quran or the Sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You want to cheat on your taxes? Give me some proof from the Quran and the Sunnah that a Muslim should be like that. You want to buy a house on interest? Give me some proof from the Quran and the Sunnah. Imam Ahmad was asking for the proof. And if there was no proof, we cannot do it. We cannot do it. The last thing. There's a lot of temptation. A lot of temptation to do the wrong thing. You see, Mu'tasim tried to tempt Imam Ahmad. He said that, look, just agree on a little itsy-bitsy thing, just say this, and we'll be buddies. Everything will be okay. Today, the same type of pressure is being applied to the Muslim. Just compromise a little. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ. They want you to compromise so that they can also compromise. They want you to go easy so they can also go easy. So just be like them a little bit, and then they fool you by thinking that everything will be okay. But it's not. Everything will never be okay until you say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Because there will be a struggle between truth and falsehood. Between the forces of justice and injustice. Between the forces of justice and tyranny. There will always be a struggle. It started with Iblis and Adam alayhi salam. It continued to the time of Musa and the Fir'aun. And it continued at the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. And it exists today with the Muslims and the pharaohs of today. So, brothers and sisters, there's tremendous lessons that come out from this. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He lets us think about these examples and give us the time to reflect upon the message from the life of Imam Ahmad. May Allah be pleased with him. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. وأقم الصلاة. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله